QEN News Time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly deep dive into the area of COVID-19 with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Well, I am curious, first of all, or wanting to talk about the vaccination clinic on Saturday and 753 people getting vaccinated, far exceeding the goal. Talk about what went into getting that all put together.
Well, that was an enormous effort involving the county, Aviva, Douglas Public Health Network, and a bunch of other volunteers such as the Red Cross. And we put this together at the fairgrounds. We did 753 vaccinations over the day. We had no bad reactions, and we were very glad to do that many vaccines. In addition, a number of our providers did vaccines, so one of the smaller clinics did 53 on Saturday. So we did 806 vaccinations in Douglas County on Saturday.
Well, that is a good start, and of course, the obvious question is, when are we doing another one?
Well, we're working on that today, so I do not want to go ahead and spill the beans here. I'll leave some suspense for later in the week, but there will be more coming.
Well, people are very interested in this method of doing it. Over the weekend, I was noting Lane County had tents up, and actually you would park under the tent, remain in your vehicle. Did it that way. I know someone who got vaccinated in another state much the same way. They just remained in their vehicle and were checked on by folks. Everybody's got a little bit different method, but however you do it, obviously doing a mass event is very effective, but certainly takes a lot of work behind the scenes.
Oh, it took a tremendous amount of work to get this set up, and so there was a lot of work behind the scenes. People have done it in slightly different ways. I think our choice was not to do this as a drive-through because of the risk of reactions. Good news was we did 753 and had no reactions, so we may consider something in the future a little different. There are some real advantages to doing the big events because you can get everybody at once. On the other hand, it takes so many people to get set up that it does not wind up being super efficient.
So it seems like some counties in Oregon are farther along in getting people vaccinated than we are. And as we watch the data during the past few days, it seemed like some counties would get what you might call a decent amount. Other counties thought they didn't get enough. How is that being handled? I know that kind of comes down from the state and goes from there.
So it's all a bit early. So we don't know. Now, some of the vaccines initially were given to sites that could do these big events. So at the state fairgrounds in Salem, the National Guard and a bunch of others got together. So Marion County has gotten its outsized share of vaccines. In addition, OHSU, working at the Oregon Convention Center, to have a big one there. So they have gotten a lot more vaccines per capita than we have. In addition, our numbers look a little low because there's this little technical thing, is that non-federal providers send the information to the state alert registry. Federal providers, including the VA, send it straight to the CDC, and thus they show up in the federal numbers but don't show up in the state numbers. So all of those many vaccines that were given at the VA don't get counted in our county numbers. In general, though, I think our county is doing great. We've gotten us about 5,000 vaccines have arrived to public health, and I think we're giving out well over 4,000 of those. Some of those need to be held for second dose. So pretty much almost all of the vaccines that we could give out, we have given out.
So talk about that second dose aspect. What's the time window from the time someone gets their first vaccination to the time when they should get the second one?
Well, the current recommendation is that people who get the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine get a second dose. For the Pfizer vaccine, it's 3 weeks after. For the Moderna vaccine, it's 4 weeks after. But it's anywhere between 3 weeks and 6 weeks for both.
and how will that be coordinated? Do you follow up with people who got, for instance, Saturday got vaccinated, or is it kind of up to them to pursue getting that second dose?
Well, when their follow-up vaccine arrives, then they'll get a note that there's going to be another event to go ahead and get them their second dose.
So then that's kind of basically the second dose is the communication is being correlated then with when you got your first dose.
Yes. And we gave some Pfizer and some Moderna, so it's a little confusing because some will be at 3 weeks and some at four, but probably we'll give everybody their second dose at 4 weeks.
Now that it's out and vaccinations are happening, are you seeing an increased percentage of people wanting to be vaccinated?
So I think in the beginning, there were about 50 or 60% of the people who wanted vaccine, and then 10 or 20% who wanted to see what happened to others. And so they were a little reluctant to go ahead and be first in line for the vaccines. Now that the vaccines have been out over a month, believe it or not, and they seem to be safe and effective, our numbers have now climbed into the 60s.
Let's talk about Douglas County's COVID-19. The brand new numbers for today just came out. Talk about those.
So we've had a bunch of cases over the weekend. We have no large outbreaks going here. We have lots of small outbreaks, and I think we have 7 current school outbreaks. Now, school outbreaks doesn't mean that they're spread in the schools. It just means there's a case in the schools. And we have 7 different schools where there's at least one case among either teachers or students. What we're really looking at is what the number was for our risk level, and this just came in a few minutes ago. For Douglas County, our cases per 100,000 over the 2 weeks needed to stay under 200 for us to remain in the high range, and our number was 196. So I've been fretting all weekend as to what that number would be, but we will stay in that high range for the next 2 weeks.
Wow, and a lot of people have been asking about that. That's actually probably the most common question I've been getting asked. If somebody spots me at the store, even if they don't know me personally, what's ahead? A lot of people are concerned about, obviously, the economic impact when you end up going back to that higher level. Today, though, we've got 24 cases, 21 new positive test results, 3 new presumptive. We're not jumping into this new period of time in that, probably the way you want to be.
Well, certainly there are far more cases than we would expect. Some of these are cleanup cases over the weekend. So these cases may have gotten reported over the weekend and they came into us. But again, we are clearly not past this, and it would take very little for us to go over and move back to the extreme range. So really, this is not a time to let down our guard.
What about, I just lost my place here. What about the... a few weeks ago, there was a church outbreak with 60 cases. Has that gotten any larger?
That has pretty much stabilized, so that's the good news. Unfortunately, what we've seen is some of those people have gone to work or gone elsewhere, and then there are outbreaks in the new places, but pretty much it seems to be under control at this point.
And have you seen any more church outbreaks?
Yes, we've had 2 large church outbreaks in the last week, but again, they both seem to be under control at this point.
So how many cases does that reflect?
Well, a little over 60 in the first, about 10 in the second.
And what is it about that leads to these outbreaks? Is it just in terms of how things are being conducted?
Well, in general, we've seen that there are some church facilities that have relatively large churches that have followed the rules exactly, and we've seen no big outbreaks there. It's in areas where people let down their guard and don't always follow the rules where we've seen most of the outbreaks.
Let's talk about the state numbers. It seems like, and I just got the new numbers in for the state, 435 today, 2 new deaths. Seems like state numbers have gone down a fair amount in the past week or so.
Yeah, I think state numbers are. I think like all of those things, we've seen a decrease at the federal level and a decrease at the state level. I think because the holiday surge that we saw is fading out.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. going to take a break. More when we come back, going in-depth with COVID-19, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. We're expecting some special news coverage around 3:45 regarding the impeachment trial situation. That's subject to flux, but that is apparently the time we're going to have some special coverage from Fox News Radio this afternoon. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us this afternoon, going in-depth on COVID-19. Let's talk about the positive potential impact to schools with where things are right now.
Well, where schools are right now, they're in the yellow range, so schools, if they choose, can open. Some schools will choose to open, others won't. And so really it's a decision of the local school boards. Public health is always here to go ahead and give advice and recommendations, but it really is the elected school board that gets to choose.
Now, we had Superintendent Jared Corden on from Roseburg Public Schools this morning. It was their first day back for K-5 to be back in the classroom. And we were talking earlier this morning just for some of the kids, some of the data that's been out about the mental health impacts of being, distanced and being away from friends and teachers and all that, being pretty hard.
Right. So we know that when kids go to school, they go there to learn, but they also go there to socialize. They also go there to be with their friends. And when they go to school, they tend to be much more active than when they stay at home. So we are a bit worried that kids have been home for so long. We've seen already kids with mental health issues. I've seen a bunch of kids who've gained a lot of weight. And so we really, really want them back in school.
And for the state of Oregon, what about some hot spots we're seeing right now? We talked about a lot of the numbers overall going down, but are we seeing some areas that are still remaining hot?
Well, we certainly are seeing areas in the country that are hot. California, Arizona, South Carolina, New York are really struggling with cases this week. And it seems to pop up in one area and then go down, probably because when there's a lot of disease in an area, people recognize it's around and take additional precautions.
What are some of the big hot spots around the country right now?
Well, South Carolina, for whatever reason, and Southern Georgia and Northern New York, all kind of different and funny places.
What about around the world? We've seen, because healthcare and health protocols and, systems of government are so different. The impact has been wildly different around the world. But what are we seeing around the world right now?
Well, what we do see is an enormously different toll in different areas. So when we look at what's happening right now, still very few cases in Asia. You look at Hong Kong, Australia, New Zealand, and they're having a really low number of cases. So the way we typically follow by country is to look at the cases per 100,000 per day. Australia and the whole country of Australia, they're averaging 8 cases a day for the entire country. New Zealand, they're averaging 3.7 cases a day per 100,000. Japan, 5.1. But then you look at Spain and it's 76. Or the U.S. and it's 51. The U.K. is 54. Sweden is 33. So really widely different, at least 100-fold difference among countries. Some of this has to do with how early and aggressively they dealt with it. Both Australia and New Zealand, Hong Kong and Taiwan were incredibly aggressive early on. And because of that, they've been able to keep the case counts really low.
And what about these nations that have well put together healthcare systems? Has it been harder for them to deal with these situations?
Well, this is one of the anomalies here. So if you look at Africa, in Central Africa especially, that tends to have really horrible health care and health conditions. They've had a very low number of cases. And again, we don't know if that is they really had a lot, not very many cases, or they just didn't find them. Actually, if you look now at the countries that are having the worst problems, it goes in descending order: Israel, fairly advanced systems, Spain, Portugal, the UK, Sweden, and the US, all countries that are really first world countries. And so it's not a lack of health facilities. It really is other factors unrelated to health facilities.
Now, we announced this morning the third case of this UK variant in Oregon. Talk more about that. A lot of people are having a hard time kind of wrapping their head around what this is and what it means.
Right. So all living organisms mutate, and so they mutate at a certain rate. Actually, this one does not mutate super fast, but it does mutate some. And with so many diseases in the world, I think we're going to hit 100 million cases today with so much disease in the world, and especially with disease in mink farms where there are a lot of individual mink together. What happened was that there are some mutations, and some of these mutations seem to be more contagious. There's a report this weekend that they may also be more deadly. So this was already pretty contagious and pretty deadly. So if you make a variant which is either more contagious or more deadly or both, it's going to be really, 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 really complicated.
Now, are variants common with just viruses in general?
Yes. All viruses mutate. This one actually doesn't mutate that fast. Certainly, the influenza germ or the HIV germ mutate much faster than this. So this is not a particularly fast mutating. It's just that there's so many cases in so many populations that we're beginning to see these variants. And the concern about the variants is that the vaccine may not work, right? If it changes enough, the vaccine may not work for it. So, for example, with influenza, it changes enough year to year that last year's flu vaccine doesn't always work on this year's flu. The concern would be if this mutates enough, perhaps these wonderful vaccines we have now won't work.
Now, on I think it was Sunday, the Oregon Health Authority announced the second variant case in Oregon. That was, I don't remember the county, but one particular county, this new one, is Washington County. But the second one, that person had no travel history in recent times. The newest one did. But if for the person that was number two, how do you end up with this when you don't have travel history and haven't been somewhere?
So we have not, the United States in general has not done a great job of looking at viruses for variants. So we only do about one in 300. There are some places like Denmark is now going to do 100% of the new cases to look for variants. So if you're only looking for one in 300, this may have been out there for a while and you would not have found it. So we guess that the cases that have this variant who live in the U.S. who have not had travel likely got this from a variant which has maybe been around for a while and you can't trace it back to travel. So we think they probably all did start with travel. There's such specific mutations that while it is certainly possible that it is a new mutation, it's much more likely a mutation from the U.K. or South Africa that came to the U.S. But several generations back, it'd be really, really hard to pick that out.
So then, for instance, this person could have been exposed to someone who was carrying this variant, and maybe they had whatever exposure level, and they got it that way. Would that be possible?
So about half the time, we don't know where people got it from. So if, let's say that this new variant was back in the U.S., three generations of disease ago, which is about only 3 weeks, it is possible that we would not be able to tie the person who has it now to that person who traveled and brought it in. And while travel has really been decreased, international travel has tremendously decreased, it's certainly not at zero. I mean, look at all of the diplomats and others that are traveling overseas, all the soldiers and sailors that are traveling from overseas.
What about other new things that you've learned that public health professionals are learning about this virus?
Well, you know, lots of things. The thing that people are most concerned about has been the long haulers, those people who've had disease in the past and seem to have symptoms for a long time. There's good news and bad news. The good news is many are continuing to improve weeks and months after their illness. The bad news is there's still a small subset who are still quite ill, even weeks or months later. But in general, overall, people are generally getting better from this, and they do seem to have good immunity that lasts 6 to 9 months.
Well, this has certainly been an interesting time in our lives, and something that, you know, we'll be talking to grandkids about all of that down the road when we talk about 2020 and 2021 dealing with COVID-19. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on again.
Well, thank you for having me.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.